The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Once again, Monday through Friday, we're here to bring you some remarkable information with some wonderful people. Tonight, a very, very special first 2 hours. Special for me, special for you, and I hope special for my friend of at least 20 years on the radio. He is literally a legend in his own time. Jordan Maxwell has been responsible for probably starting the careers of God knows how many people, 20, 50, that you know the names of, people who have borrowed, I'm being charitable, let's just be honest, who have stolen the magnificent research and work, insights, observations, realities that have been uncovered and discovered by Jordan Maxwell. He's been at it over, I think, over 55 years now. He started when he was 3 years old. Is that right, Jordan?
I was 55 years, but I was a little bit older than three, yeah. That's funny. Yeah, I was 59. It was back in 1959 I started and got interested in these subjects of the dark world we live in. 59, but making about, well, 55 years, yeah.
You know, that's the same year that Errol Flynn died and Mario Lanza died. It was the end of the 50s, and a very auspicious platform for you, the young Jordan Maxwell, to step off of into this truly dark world. It is dark. It's dark, dangerous, dirty, and deadly.
Oh, no doubt about that, boy. I think every day we've seen that crammed down your throat. So, but unlike other times in the past, we're now in serious trouble. You know, we had somewhat of a chance to learn and to do something a long time ago, but it's way too late. I mean, the whole world, not just America, it's the whole entire globe, the whole entire world is in trouble, because the whole concept, the very bottom line concept of government, law, commerce, all that kind of thing, is all totally destructive. It's all ludicrous. It's all
It's imploding.
Corrupted.
It's falling apart. It's
falling apart. No
it's
doubt
about rotted it. To its core, and it really doesn't stand up to the symbol it used to represent. Even an average person watching this horror show called Hillary Clinton is figuring it out, that there's something wrong with government. There's something wrong with the way our country is administered. It is not of, by, and for the people at all. It is of, by, and for the 1%. And they don't give a good tinker's damn about us, whether we live or die. They kill people all the time. You saw about Josh Rich, who was murdered a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago. He is now being named in a roundabout way by Julian Assange as the man directly behind the DNC email leaks that WikiLeaks distributed to the world and caused some very welcome insight into the Democratic National Committee. So Josh was murdered, shot twice in the back of the head by some accounts, shot in the back and in the head. At any rate, he was walking home at 4 a.m., and they were just waiting. They got him. When your time is up, especially on the Clinton death list, your time is up, and they've got close to 100 people on that list now. I'm not saying the Clintons kill people, but I'm saying it's the Clinton death list. These are people who had things to do directly, indirectly, directly or tangentially with the Clinton machine, and they paid the price.
Well, what about John Kennedy, when the assassination of Kennedy?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. 130 or something people died all around him?
Yeah, they killed virtually everyone that was involved or had anything to say. There are a few hangers-on, but not many left. You know, this thing about Julian Assange, as most of you know, he is still stuck being held essentially a prisoner, not by, but at the mercy of the Ecuadorian embassy. He's hiding out from prosecution for alleged rape in Sweden. He's been in there for 3-4 years now. Democratic pundit who is also a CNN host is calling for the assassination of Julian Assange today. This guy's on CNN. You can't believe what's happening, folks. If you've been away or off planet for a while, it ain't the same place as it used to be.
No, it certainly isn't. I remember when I was a little kid, when we first got our first black and white TV. This was back, I don't know, maybe in 53 or something like that. And I remember sitting with my family in the front room and just wondering at this wonderful technology, television. And Chet Huntley was the...
Brinkley the and Huntley.
Yeah, Brinkley and Huntley. Well, Huntley was the NBC,
he's a news anchor.
News anchor, right, yeah. The news anchor, Chet Huntley. And I remember distinctly him saying, tonight there are certain people in our country.
Certain people what? Did we lose Jordan? All right, well, we'll get him back. That's the problem with Skype. Sometimes it sounds wonderful, sometimes it sounds awful, and sometimes it doesn't sound at all. We'll recover Jordan in just a minute. Let me look for this story. Here it is. This is really disgusting. When we talk about people on the Clinton death list and other people who have been murdered for what they know or what they've done or what they've threatened to do. Now here we have, and if nothing else, the Democrat Party has been exposed to all of you, to the world, as being the lying, rotten entity of darkness. We talked about that earlier already with Jordan. It's the bad guy. And they've always pointed to the Republicans and painted themselves into this beautiful corner of gossamer white light. They're some kind of an angelic presence in the political arena. No. Democratic strategist calls for the assassination of Julian Assange. It's true. Amid the media-hyped furor, this is from Zero Hedge, over Donald Trump's Second Amendment comments and WikiLeaks suggestions about the untimely death, murder, of Seth Rich, we thought it perhaps of note the Democratic strategist and CNN host named Bob Beckel, B-E-C-K-E-L, has called for the, this is a quote now, I'm going to read it, got some bad words in it, called for the illegal assassination of that son of a bitch, Julian Assange. Now, this is not the American way, not supposed to be, didn't used to be, It's not supposed to be the Democrat way. But I'm telling you, people are dying. The Democrat list alone. And now the Clinton death list has picked up, I think, 5 people in the last 6 weeks. These are people, again, involved with, somehow connected to, the Clintons. Jordan, are you back yet? Okay, still working on it. We'll get him. This is a real big issue. It's very dangerous to talk like this. It's not a solution. You know, we have something called due process. Innocent until proven guilty. I don't even know what Assange has been charged with outside of the rape count. For that, he's done 4 years, basically, under house arrest in an embassy in London. It's crazy. So Mr. Beckel has stepped across the line. In fact, he's fallen across the line. Now, we have more on Hillary's medical condition. Her health condition. I am quoting the story as an allegation, allegedly. An ex-employee of Hillary's physician has gone public and said, yes, it is true, she has been diagnosed with dementia. Now, right there, what do we have? We really should have the end of her candidacy. That's it. That's the end. I hope the Republican Party, the RNC, files a lawsuit in federal court insisting that this woman be either examined by an independent panel of psychiatrists and medical doctors, or that her health records be subpoenaed from her own doctor. If she has dementia, she's out. We cannot, will not, and should not even contemplate having someone in the Oval Office in the White House with dementia. You know that. All right? Dementia is not the only thing. We have also clear evidence of some kind of seizure activity, which was also in those alleged medical records that we had posted, linked to, that were on Superstation 95. Everybody linked to them. It was some kind of serious stress-oriented issue which involved seizures. We have dementia. We have obvious issues of balance. Hillary can't climb stairs. She has to be helped. That black guy who has been described as her handler is now identified as a doctor. I can't give you his name, but I came across that today. Also remember her cough. Hillary Clinton has had a cough for going back to 2012 or before that. This is a serious cough. It's not a joke. It doesn't go away with a drink of water. Here, listen.
Well, you know what? I won't hold you on here any longer because you probably could use some water.
Sorry.
There. Hillary Clinton live from New York.
This is another one.
Way too much. Yep.
Hillary always seems to have a glass of water nearby to help allay the coughing, but it doesn't seem to work.
This is 2012. This is 2015. So you got a span of 3 years there with the same.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay. All right. You get to hear Hillary cough for a minute here.
Okay.
Often Hillary Clinton will.
That's October 22nd, 2015. I was just going through her health issues, Jordan, and this really ties into what we were talking about, because we are supposedly a people governed by those who represent our wishes, of, by, and for the people. That, as we mentioned when you dropped out, is gone. It's an illusion. It's a myth. It has been a myth since the death of John Kennedy. That was the coup d'etat that ended all real liberty in this country. We have now cabals. We have the Bush, Clinton, cabal. The CIA is involved with all of it. Make no mistake about that. I mentioned also while you were off for a couple of minutes the Clinton death list. We were talking about that. With you mentioned John Kennedy's is well over 100 people, 130, I think, and counting. Some very, very important and very bright people have been removed. Hillary Clinton is a fraud. She ran the Clinton White House for 8 years. Bill refers to her as the warden. He will take... he doesn't challenge her at all. That guy will take anything she throws at him, including a fist. You saw the black eye he had once. Remember that, Jordan?
Yeah, sure do. He does, yeah. Too.
Yeah, oh, of course he does. So he's just playing. She's the power. She is now being held together by a delicate balance, a mixture of pharmaceuticals and lies on behalf of her campaign. Her doctor, of course, is legally bound not to discuss or disclose. But when you add up all these things that she has, and I mentioned while you were gone, a former employee of the doctor, Jordan, has come forward out of concern for the welfare and security of the United States and its people, and confirmed that she has dementia. That is running around now. There's a YouTube video of it. Is it post-concussion syndrome that caused the dementia? It's doubtful. That's the kind of thing that is, I don't want to call it genetic, but it just begins. It may have caused her to fall. It may have been causing her balance issues. We have dementia. We have the concussion. We have the blood clot. We have seizures, perhaps TIAs. We have issues of balance. You heard the coughing. And that's just a few of the videos of the coughing. She also has DVT, deep vein thrombosis. She's had two clots in her legs. She clots, 2009 and 2012. I think it was 2009, 2012. She's been treated for thyroid issues, which can be major, since the 1950s. Her health is a catastrophe, and probably worse than those items I listed. We don't know. But it's our business to find out, and whatever we have to do to force this issue legally, we have to do. And I don't want to see the country hung up in the courts forever. I don't like the court system. It does work, but this woman needs to come forward as a matter of honor and disclose her health, or she needs to be held accountable for the truth. And with that, I will stop.
Well, but everybody who's aware of what's going on pretty well knows what the story is, but she's being protected. And myself, I don't really care anymore, because I know that the situation is so critically far gone that there's so many other things that are even more important to me at the moment. So I just sit by and quietly and watch what George Carlin says. It's a big club and you ain't in it. So
I wish. We lose these brilliant minds. We lost George Carlin. We need George Carlin more now than ever. Seriously. Sherman Skolnick, the great journalist from Chicago, we lost him. Obama was coming in and being installed. We lost Sherman. These are really heroic people, and I just for fun, I wish we still had Red Fox.
He was great.
Just a great comic. We have the first time. I got to the point where you are and have been before I was, that it's too late. And the first time you and I talked about that concept, it was too early to say on the air. It was 15 years ago, probably, that we began to mention, just in private conversations, that it's over. It's done. We could see where it was going, you more than I, and it's gone there.
No doubt about it. It's pretty much overwhelming and obvious now to people who are waking up. And I have people telling me that all the time. Well, you know, around the world, people are waking up. And I say, yes, that's what prisoners do when they're in San Quentin. They wake up. It doesn't mean anything because you're still in prison, but at least you're waking up to it finally. And so, you know, you should have woke up 100 years ago. Should have woke up a long time ago. But
you know when the masses are going to wake up, Jordan, when they're going up the final ramp and they hear the screams of the dying and smell the smell of death. That's when they'll wake up.
It will finally finally occur to them there may be something wrong here. And so
I don't mean to be so graphic, but that's the way it seems.
No, but that's exactly what's happening in point of fact. That's happening around the world. People are losing their lives. There's a lot of bloodshed going on because of government, religion. It's all very, very corrupt, and people know that. Most everybody knows it now.
What's the real difference, Jordan, between government and religion? Now, I don't mean the simple details. They're both engines of mass social control, manipulation. So really, they're just the same monstrosity in two different costumes.
That's exactly what it is. It's just the, you know, I always say the eagle only has two wings. Birds only have two wings, left wing and a right wing. That's why you have left and right wing politics. And you only got two arms and two legs. So, you know, it's always been understood that government merely, well, even in the original, if you go back far enough into ancient history, the kings always represented not only the political power to kill and to take life, but he also represented God. You don't think so? Mess with him and find out. And so that's the way it still is today. The governments represent God, and they like to play like they're God, like they're Caesar, the emperor of the world. And so we still have the same stuff, different day, same crap. And America was supposed to be something different, you know, where people were considered to be important, but no longer. That's gone too.
So,
we've lost power. We've lost everything. We've lost it.
Now, for those of you listening who don't want to go there and don't want to subscribe to what we're talking about now that it is too late, that's fine. And maybe we'll be proven wrong, but the facts of the matter are pretty irrefutable. The controllers control so well now, so thoroughly. Go read Operation Northwoods. Just go read and what they were doing in the 1950s to control this country. The CIA was bragging back then that they could put any story they wanted in any newspaper within an hour in the U.S. That was 65 years ago. Where are they now? It's instant. They are the media. That's where they are now. Don't forget that. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to help your friends wake up. It doesn't mean we shouldn't reach for reality and try to wake up. It doesn't mean we should quit. No. It means we should educate as many as possible. So maybe after the conflagration, there'll be some good people around who knew and who remember what we're talking about right now, and how, if we ever have the chance to avoid this again, we'll have a better opportunity to do so.
Yeah. Well, I've always said that the American people have no power, and that applies to the whole world. The whole world has no power, but especially America, you know, being talked about as the most powerful country in the world. The American people have no power. That's spelled N-O, zero, no power to do anything. They can elect, but they cannot select. You can only elect who you're given. You cannot select anything. So, but we have no power because knowledge is power. And we have no knowledge. That's why we have no power. If you understood how the world really works, then you'd see the mess we're really in, and then you would begin to realize how big the problem is. So,
And you know, they use,
all I've tried to do. You know?
They use knowledge like you have spent over 55 years compiling. And we'll talk more about this. And don't go away, because you're going to like what we have to say. But knowledge is like, it's kind of like bait. They'll let it out on a fishing line, and then when they get your attention and you start following it, they'll reel it back in and put it away.
Yeah.
They let it out and they pull it back and put it away. Knowledge is not for the masses. The game is for the masses. You know this better than anyone.
Yeah. I'll bet there's no doubt. Hold on.
The idea of knowledge and the power of knowledge is what's at the root of the deconstruction of American education. And it's a cliche, but it's true. The dumbing down of the American people, the dumbing down of our young people. They're not only withdrawing knowledge, Jordan, but they're now with full intent dumbing down. They're working on their third generation coming up. They've got two pretty well under their belts. And when I saw MTV, I knew we were in trouble. We've got two generations of walking, often drooling, reactionary zombies. What do they react to? Stimuli. What are stimuli? Advertisements, instructions, brain control, mind control, mass social engineering, popular culture. What is music now? It's programming. That's all it is. It's product.
Of course it is. Even in Hollywood, they have something called program music. I mean, if the villain's coming in or you know, the evil guy's coming into the picture, you'll hear the music. If it's a happy scene, then you'll hear happy music. It's called program music. So they're programming us with their rap and their, what do they call it, gangster rap and gangster Western music. And so they're programming the people. And it's so very obvious. If you just sit back, and this is what old people like me, I'm doing 76 years old, this is what old people do. They just sit back and watch the same old BS that played on us some 50, 60, 70 years ago is being played on us again, but the young people don't know. They're just young. They don't know. But I've seen this stuff years ago. They had from the classical music days early in America and, you know, beginning of radio. Then they had a guy named Cole Porter, who began to introduce jazz into the psyche of the American people. It was a black musician. His name was Cole Porter. Well, actually, Cole Porter is a word that means, look it up in a dictionary. It wasn't his name, Cole Porter. They just called him that. But he was a Cole Porter. A Cole Porter is someone who begins to a revolutionary movement.
Porter, a transporter.
Yeah, someone who transports and brings something new that's different, a revolutionary. And so Cole Porter he's bringing a new revolutionary kind of music to the psyche of America. And from that, of course, it worked into the Roaring Twenties, the Roaring Thirties, and then into the 50s with rock and roll, and then finally into the British invasion, and ultimately into the drug CIA and NSA drug. Until today, we have kids on the adults on the stage, totally blanked out with narcotics, violence. Yeah, and I've watched the whole civilization, Western Christian civilization, slowly but surely being led down the garden path. And I remember what Santayana said, for those who do not learn from the past are bound to repeat it. So here we are at the end of the Roman Empire one more time. One last time, we're coming to the end of the Roman Empire, the entire superstructure of Western civilization is crumbling before our eyes. And it's not happening by chance. Now, we saw this back in my, you know, back in the 30s. We saw it back in the 1800s in Europe. We've seen it back in Rome. We've seen it in all the great nations of the world.
It's a cycle.
It's a cycle. And it's unfortunate that it's going to have to be so many innocent people are going to pay for their ignorance and pay. And it's not because we're stupid.
They're
going to
die.
Yeah, they're going to die.
Would that talk about removing 80 to 90% of the world population is not just idle talk.
No, I'm afraid
it's in all likelihood it's going to happen. The idea of programming, just one note on the music you mentioned, programming the masses, contouring, shaping the masses with the message in the so-called popular culture. What is the message? No inhibitions, no restraint, no responsibility, no accountability, no reason to do anything but dissipate yourself, have fun, because you could be dead tomorrow. That's the message. Sex, it's like taking a tissue out of a box anymore. It doesn't mean anything to anybody. There are exceptions,
right.
But that is the primary mechanism underlying most everything now. If you go on the internet, friends, and just look at every website, the newspapers, it doesn't matter, the news service, what's on the margin, on the right or the left margin? Usually the right. Half-naked women. It's all you see. That's all you see.
Well, it's been used for thousands of years as the bread and circuses routine that the Romans had came up with, but it was around before them. It's the same idea. Keep the people occupied. Nothing occupies the human mind like sex. So that's why you have movies, television shows. Everything is sex. Why? It's because it keeps the mind occupied. It's like children, you know, need a ball to play with. And so we
keep your eye on the ball.
That's
it. Keep your mind on sex. Yeah.
That's it. And of course, you got ball games. My God, there's about 40 different kinds. You know, football, baseball, soccer ball, kicker ball,
right.
Ping pong ball.
And don't forget the nice orange ball that you put through the little round metal hoop called basketball.
Of course.
And they pay those running, jumping African Americans tens of millions of dollars a year to put the little orange ball through the round hoop.
That's it. So it's just a ball game, and the whole idea is give the kids something to do. I mean, that's why you have sports in colleges and universities. Give the kids something to do. They've got a lot of energy. They've got a lot of vitality and energy.
Right. Hormones.
Dissipate that.
Hormones.
Dissipate it. Yeah. Just dissipate it. Give them plenty to do so they're at the end of the day, they have played ball, they've kicked the ball, stumbled over the ball, and played with the ball, so they're all tired, and now they want to do is drink.
And what do you do with the ball? You score with the ball. Sports is an analogy for the sexual act.
Of course.
Yeah, so, put the ball in the round hoop. You score.
It.
Okay?
It's an incredible...
You run the ball into the end zone. You get in. He got in! And it's all as rudimentary and basic as it could possibly be, and no one sees it.
Nobody sees it. Well, I think the reason why is because there are none so blind as those who choose not to see.
And the other part about sports is how it becomes literally the dominant portion of people's personalities. They live, eat, and breathe a team, a logo, a mantra, a nickname. Their lives are consumed
with the
players, their lives, their sex scandals, their children, their how much money they're making. My God, how can you have a life when you're conned into that kind of a living?
Oh, that's true. And that's why we're in the shape we're in. But for some reason, people gravitate toward that. You know, people like to be entertained. Most people are not interested in facing reality. That's why you got grown-ups acting like children.
We still have the Roman Colosseum. What do you think these teams are in a stadium facing off against each other? It's sanitized war. It's your army against our army. That's what it is. It's sanitized warfare.
Of course. And now, not to mention the boxing in Las Vegas, all the big boxing matches where they put two humans up and the mafia mm-hmm. and the Cosa Nostra is making millions of dollars on two humans beating the flying crap out of each other. And the world loves it. People just love it. They're standing in line to get in to watch humans beat each other up. Well, it's the same thing they did in Rome. So,
another thing about sports, Jordan, before we leave the subject, the number of sporting events, games, contests that are rigged for money or threats or blackmail or bribery, nobody would believe it if they knew. They wouldn't believe it.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I've heard professional guys talking about that and seminars, and they're talking, there's virtually never been a game anywhere of any size, professional, that wasn't rigged, period. This is what they were saying. Wow. Just anything. You name the sport, and they can rig it. and so all we're talking about is money. We're just talking about business. So anyway, you know, when I went off the air, that's kind of scary. Because I haven't had any problem with Skype until I come on your show, and
I think there are government people who like to mess with me, and I'm not surprised.
Well, me too.
You have had so much of that.
I have too, and as a matter of fact, I have been pulled off of different shows in the past. Mm-hmm. My phone just goes dead. And so.
Oh, I know.
But anyway, I've had to deal with that over and over again. But, you know, I was talking about something I thought was important. Unhappily, I was just talking to myself there for 3 or 4 minutes. But I was just talking about the 500 million. Did you hear me saying anything about that?
No, but when you talk to yourself, there's not much chance for argument. So go
ahead. No, that's true.
Tell us.
And I know me well enough. I'm not going to bring it up if I don't like the subject.
There you go. Tell us about 500 million.
Well, the 500 million on the Georgia Guidestones.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was strange because when I heard that, the first time I heard that, I thought, wait a minute, 500 million? Where have I heard that before? It goes back to ancient Egypt, and the ancient Egyptians said that if you could go through the North Pole, from the North Pole, exactly at the North Pole, and go straight through the Earth to the South Pole, and divide that distance into 500 million divisions, it would be called an inch or a sacred inch. And so the idea is that from the North Pole to the South Pole, straight through, like a laser straight through the Earth, is 500 million inches. And this 500 million gives Christianity the basis for what we call Christian measurements. And so a lot of people don't know Christianity has a lot of Egyptian and ancient measurement systems built into Christianity. Well, during the French Revolution, Robespierre and Danton and some of the other people with him, they came up with the idea that if you're going to overthrow the French government, you're going to be messing with the French Catholic establishment of Europe. And so you're going to have to overthrow the Catholic Church too with it. And so they developed an idea because the French Grand Orient Masons, Danton and Robespierre, as I said, and others, they realized, we don't know anything about it, but they realized if you're going to undo Christianity, you've got to destroy the measurement systems that Christianity is based on. And so it was based on the 500 million inches of Egypt or the 500 million inches that we use today. And so they developed a new idea for a whole new world order, and they called it metric. And so the way Danton and Robespierre and the Temple Orient, the Orient Templars of France, came up with this idea, let's change the entire way Western civilization measures things, and that will start a whole new world order. So what they did, they said, you know, because you go from north to south pole, 500 million inches, what we will do is we'll call it metric, and we'll go from the north pole to the equator, and then double that to the south pole, and then that will be the new metric system. And upon the metric system, we will build what we call the new world order. The Novus Ordo Seclorum, a whole new world of order based on the metric system. So you just need to look at that metric system and understand that was to design, that whole concept of metric was designed to destroy the foundations of Christian civilization. And there's no doubt in my mind that it's done very well doing just that, because now today, almost the whole world is dealing with metric. It's only America and England who are sticking to the old way, you know, the old Christian concept of the inch and the foot, etc.
And incidentally, there it brings up the number 12, which is the base of Christianity.
That's exactly right. That's why you have a ruler.
Yeah.
Jesus is the ruler. So
Yeah.
And he has 12 followers. So you got 12 inches. All of this is very interesting if you can get into it without getting cut off by the government. It really gets very deep and very interesting when you start looking at how the system is set up to destroy Christian civilization, Western civilization. And from there, you can begin to see how the collapse of Europe has been planned. It's purposely being planned. Obviously, the Europeans do not want their country, destroyed. But for some reason, they have no power to do anything. They are being destroyed right in front of your face, and the leaders of the European countries are under obligation to follow someone. Somebody is pulling the strings in Europe to destroy the entire Christian civilization. So, and
look,
that's
at Mrs. Merkel. There's your perfect example.
A perfect example. Perfect. Every time you see her, she's giving hand signs. She's giving Kabbalistic hand signs. I've seen her at least 25, 30 times in different pictures holding her hands together in the Kabbalistic symbol. Yeah, and it's everywhere. And, of course, I see all the political leaders when they get together. I see a lot of them with their Kabbalistic hand signs.
Yeah.
It's astonishing how
much...
Well,
you see rock stars doing the same...
same identical thing.
...hand thing. This is interesting. So the war against Western Christian values and Western Christian ethics... is once again on in earnest, and this appears to be the final battle. They're going into Europe. I just had a story today. Another 250,000 of what they call Syrian refugees have gone into Europe in the first part of this year already. Now, these are not all Syrians. We know that now, and if anybody just reads, Somalia is not Syria. Black Africans who call themselves Muslims are not traditional Muslims. This is all a scam, and they're using just bodies. Look at the pictures, Jordan. What do you see when you see pictures of these groups of people? You see young men of fighting age. They're all in their 20s and early 30s. You hardly see females. You don't see them. And this whole thing of Islam, mutilating women, treating women like they're a piece of meat, garbage, the hypocrisy, the pedophilia that's institutionalized in Islam, one of the big secrets of how these men buy the young boys, especially in Afghanistan, Pakistan, they do it. Everything is a lie. It's all a lie. It's all rigged. All of it.
And it's all demonic.
Oh, yeah.
It's a totally demonic presence on the earth. And why do we have three major religions? Why three? Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Why three? And why is it that all the gods of the world are always a triune god? In Hindu, you have Brahma, Vishnu, Siva. In Egypt, you have Isis, Horus, and Osiris, Isis, Horus, and
it's always a triumvirate, always.
Yeah, it's always a triumvirate. Then you got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And, of course, in Judaism, you got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's always a triumvirate, always three. Why three? There's a reason. It goes all the way back to secret societies, going all the way back into ancient history. And when you see how the world is being manipulated with the words and the terms, it's all part of secret societies operating on the body politics of the world. But people have no idea in the world. They can understand a little bit if you mention mafia, if you mention gangs, motorcycle gangs or whatever. All right, so at least you can understand. There's a group there. It's a group thinking. And they're not thinking for you. They're thinking for themselves. Well, take it to the next step. Maybe that's a Republican Party, a Democratic Party. Yeah, they're having a party, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and then you begin to look at, wait a minute. Maybe it's the Communist Party. Or maybe it's an American system. And now before you know it, you begin to see pattern recognition. You begin to see the entire world is in the hands of gangs. That's all it is. Warlords.
Gangsters.
Gangsters. That's it.
If you look in Guess on your homepage at Rents, you look under there and you'll see I've got a little entry. It says Jordan's Family History. And he sent me a little note just before the program. Jordan's got a columnist feature box with lots of his little clip art and historical tidbits. Fascinating to walk through that. This is interesting. I didn't know this, and he's never shared this with me before. It's short. I'll read it. There were a great many more founding fathers, however, even if their names are not so familiar as the above. And the above name is the Carroll family, C-A-R-R-O-L-L, Catholic Founding Fathers, the Carroll family. Several of the lesser-known men who played key roles in the creation of the United States of America were Catholics. Chief among them were three members of the Carroll family of Maryland. Charles Carroll, the only Catholic signer of the Declaration of Independence, his cousin Daniel Carroll, and Daniel Carroll's brother, John Carroll, who became America's first Catholic bishop. Well, Jordan's mother's family were the Carrolls of Maryland.
That's right. My mother used to tell me when I was growing up, don't ever forget that your family is the Carroll family from Washington, D.C. and Maryland. Remember that. And as a little kid, I don't know anything about that. I couldn't care less. But even in my teen years, my mother would from time to time remind me, do you remember me telling you about the Carroll family? I said, yes, Mom. I don't know what it means. She said, it means you're from the Carroll family in Maryland, Washington, D.C. And then before she passed away, I talked with her in the hospital, and she said to me, remember what I told you. You are from the Carroll family. That's your ancestry in Washington, D.C. and Maryland. And I told her, yes, I understand. I didn't understand. But it was only until I read the book by Tupper Saucy called Rulers of Evil. Very important book called Rulers of Evil by Tupper Saucy. And in there, he talked about the real founding of America and how it was the Carroll family of Maryland who were instigators in starting the Declaration of Independence and financing. And then he mentioned, too, that it was the Carroll family who owned a farm or ranch or farm, I guess it would be. And they dedicated 10 square miles to George Washington for the new government. The Carroll family did.
And guess where that is. Yeah.
Yeah, and it shocked me because I remember my mother would keep telling me that. Then, of course, with the coming of the movie, mm-hmm. National Treasure 1 and 2, in the beginning of National Treasure 1, It's about the Carroll family of Washington, D.C. and Maryland. And I was amazed sitting and watching that movie about the Carroll family. My mother used to tell me I was a, you know, that was my family from long ago. So, and I do know, I totally believe this to be true because I knew that during the time when I was growing up, my mother had two uncles who were judges. They were both appointed to the federal bench, and they one of them was in my hometown. The other came through once in a while, but they were both Carroll. It was Uncle Frank Carroll and John Carroll, and I knew them, and I met them. So I know, you know, that two judges, federal judges in my family were Carrolls. And so when my mother tells me about the Carroll family, now I totally believe. And so
that's
I've never
fascinating.
Told you that before.
That's,
you know,
that, no, you've never told me that. Nicolas Cage was in, I guess, both of those movies,
yeah.
National Treasure. You wonder how a movie like that got made. There was a lot in there.
Yeah, and I got an invitation from the Herzog Cowan Company to be a part of that movie. I turned them down, but they wanted me to be a part of. There was going to be a second video put out about the Carroll, about the signing of Declaration, and they wanted me to be a part of it. They said, "You know, we know who you are. We know that you've been talking about this for many years, and we'd like to have you be a part of the movie." And I said, "I thank you, but no," I turned them down. But
Well, yeah, that's
so
a very nice tribute. Yeah, oh yeah. Well, now a hell of a lot more people do right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
I didn't know about the Carrolls. I've
yeah.
known you for well over 20 years now. You've never mentioned that.
I know. I just never thought to say anything to anyone because I didn't know. I didn't put a high price on that. I mean, I thought, so what? That and $2 would get
well,
you a cup of coffee.
Well, it explains a lot. You have a patriot's heart that goes way back. Wow.
I have to say I totally am in agreement with that. I have always loved this country and I've always known about the dark side, all the machinations and mm-hmm. secret deals and mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff going on behind the scenes with all the symbols. I know all about that stuff and it probably is because it's in my blood. I mean, I've always been that way. I've always thought that way.
It's almost genetic, and why
yeah,
not? It could
I
be.
I think that's exactly right.
All right. Hold on, Jordan. We have to pause for a few minutes. We'll come right back. Another hour to go with Jordan as we continue. Don't go away.